Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
I am glad to see everyone here this morning, and glad to see that all of you online could make it online with us this morning and throughout the day as you see this on Facebook. You can also get the audio on our website, among other things on there, if you ever travel to our website to check us out. We're going to continue in Acts chapter 9 this morning. We're going to be in 20 through 31 as we continue to see Saul transformed into Paul here and what's going on in his life and the surrounding areas. Have you ever felt unwelcome somewhere? You ever felt that feeling? Do you know where you were? Do you know why it was that you felt that way? You were not supposed to be there, maybe. Maybe you crashed some event. Maybe that's why it felt like that. Maybe there was a problem and you were the one causing it. Maybe that's why it felt like that. Hopefully not. You were ignored. Whatever the reason was, you felt unwelcome. You felt awkward. It was this moment that you had there. I hope it was not in a church. But sadly, this happens too, more than we want to say it does. Today we're going to see Saul turn to Paul, pretty much unwelcome everywhere. We're going to see that in our text today, but we're also going to see that it did not stop the gospel. We're going to see this in three parts this morning. Living like Jesus, treated like Jesus, and the result of living bold. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 20. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Verse 20. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day we have here. We thank you for your glory upon us as we read your holy word. Help us see it for what it is. It is your word. And help us lean into it as a guide for our life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week, we finally met Saul turned Paul. We looked at his conversion. You have a map with you this morning. It's a different map. It just shows the area. You've got Jerusalem on there. You're going to see Arabia in our text this morning. It's not Arabia, Saudi Arabia, which is much far east. It's just an area called Arabia. And then you've got Jerusalem on there, Damascus. You've got all the places. places, Caesarea and Tarsus, that we're going to talk about this morning. We saw his conversion, and that road to Damascus you have on your map. We know that he's never going to see that road the same way ever again. Can you imagine in all of his travels being back on that road and crossing the spot where he met Jesus? Where he was blinded and surrendered to the Son of God? Where his life and his purpose was drastically changed forever? I hope we all met that spot on our own roads in our own lives.
Amen.
The spot where we met Jesus. Today, we're going to look at the immediate aftermath of Saul's conversion. He rested, recuperated with the disciples. He begins this new mission for God. This is where we're going to start this morning. Living like Jesus. So, first, we notice that it says this word immediately. We got used to this word immediately in Mark, because he uses it often as we studied that book together. It does mean immediate. It means little time has passed. This is beneficial because often, as we're reading Scripture, we lose sight of how long it's been. Has it been days? Has it been weeks? Has it been years? They just jump from one topic to another, from one maybe action or miracle to the next. How long has it been in between? So words like immediate help us, but we're going to have to look at this word today, because in our verses today, we're told that the very next thing Saul does after being transformed by God and healed by God and being with God's disciples is in our text today, but the immediately refers to after being with the disciples and not the whole thing. How do we know this? Well, it's actually written in Galatians. In Galatians 1, verse 15 through 17, it says, "But when he had set me apart for I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and then returned again to Damascus." So we have immediate in our text, immediately, but before that immediately, he has this traveling to Arabia and back to Damascus. So what he did after his return is our text today. He preached in synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. I want us to see two important things in this statement, and I want us to then look for them in our own lives. What are the two things? Well, they're what he was saying and where he was saying it. The what is Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is who he said he was. This means not only is he the Son of God, he's also the Son of Man, the light of the world, God's holy word. Not only is he the Son of God, but he is also God. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. This is what Saul is affirming here. It's what Saul's life is affirming. No one goes from hating the people following Jesus to leading the charge without God's intervention. Amen. No one goes from a Jewish Roman citizen to preaching like John the Baptist and Simon Peter and the martyr Stephen without being made new. It was by the hand of God and the Spirit of God that Saul could say what he was saying. Eyes that can now see, and ears that can now hear, from fool to wise, from death to life, do we see it?
Amen.
Do we have it? The other part to see is the where. He's preaching in synagogues, not synagogue, but synagogues. Notice the S, more than one. He's already traveling around to as many places as he can. Where is the best place to reach people and to change their religious understanding at the religious centers in every area? This is the beginning of his formula for his missionary journeys. Go to the religious centers, the Jewish synagogues, and preach the good news. This reaches the leader and the layperson and the passerby. This would also be the very places in which he once frequented himself. Think about that. Once downplaying prophecies being fulfilled by Jesus, no, it doesn't really mean that, to now defending Jesus in the very same places. Jesus met these people in these places too. We're going to see further interaction in these synagogues as we go through Acts, as we go through our text. These places would not have been kind or welcoming, as we will see in a moment. So we can see the what and the where, but how does this apply to our lives? What he was saying, where he was saying it. Well, when I think about something like this, I think about social media. I think about online, and there's this particular meme or question that goes around quite often. Sometimes they change the wording or what it looks like. It's a math problem. And it goes around quite frequently. And you'll see hundreds of thousands of people answer the math problem. It's one of those problems that has addition and subtraction and multiplication and parentheses all in one problem. It's just simply written. Hundreds of thousands of people will answer it, but most of them will be wrong. You see it all the time on the list. Because why are they wrong? It's because people think they understand. They're quite confident in their answers, or they're not posting them online if they don't think they're correct, right? You don't post anything that you know is wrong to an answer because you don't want to get the answer wrong. So they're quite confident in the response, but in reality, they don't really know the rules of math, right? The order of operations. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. I think that was what it was called when I went to school. I don't know what they say now. They don't really know what they're talking about. They answer the problem with confidence, but the answer reveals their understanding or lack thereof. Sometimes you can show people the right way and the right answer, and they'll take it in and they'll fix their thinking, and sometimes they will call your way wrong and walk away and never change. What we've seen with Saul becoming Paul is someone who has had their eyes open to the truth. He was absolutely confident that he was right until he met Jesus. Now he has the true message, and he carries it everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter where it is. He remembers who he was without the gospel, and he will not leave others in that place. Will we? We say all the time, we won't let someone think that 2 + 2 = 5. What about the gospel? In our lives, the question is, are you willing to carry the message? The only difference between your life and Paul's is that his is written in Scripture. Saved by the same God, the same Jesus died for both you and him, same Spirit inside both you and him. So what's the difference? In our lives, we can think of endless reasons to not carry the gospel. Almost anything that comes to mind will keep us from spreading God's word. And Paul was never without the gospel on his lips. I deliver to you what is of most importance. That's what he called it. The gospel. Life or death. Forgiveness or condemnation. Heaven or hell. Nothing was going to hold him back from reaching everyone he could. How about us? Is it of most importance or inconvenience? Have you received the truth, been changed by the truth, and now deliver this truth to others? Amen. Maybe better terms are this. Are you an enemy like Saul, or a witness to the world like Paul? Which is it? It must be one or the other. Saul turned Paul, was a powerful witness to the world. What are we? What are we revealing to the world? Next, we'll see what a witness to the gospel leads to, treated like Jesus. Now we move from one scene to another in our text here. How do we know? Well, we looked at our word immediately and all the things surrounded that. It meant immediate, but the things before the immediate took some time. And now in verse 23, we get to when many days had passed. This many days here is actually 3 years. How do we know? Galatians 1. 17 and 18. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and then returned again to Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, who's Peter, and remained with him for 15 days. So 15 days is where we are now once he gets to Jerusalem. So for 3 years, Paul is bombarding the synagogues in this area with the gospel. And now we see in our text that the Jews in this area have had enough. What did they do? They plot to kill him. That seems familiar, right? Jesus comes and stirs the pot and they say, let's kill him. If Peter did not have the following he had around the gospel when he met the Jewish elite, his fate too would have been death. They were scared of the followers. Stephen had no such following, so his fate was death. The fate of the rest of these believers was to live a life on the run. Do we see a trend here? Follow Jesus and you die. Really, we know that we all die. But following Jesus means eternal life in heaven to come, which means it's the only way to truly live, not the only way to die. This is one of the pillars that stands shining bright into the world around us, revealing Christianity to be true. This is one of them. The pillar is the fact that every power in this area tried to snuff this thing out with all their might, but God saw it through. No other way to take 12 and turn it into what it became when no one around them wanted to happen and death was the reward for turning to Jesus. God's holy word tells us he is the only way, and the empty tomb screams out that he is the only way, and the martyrs throughout history demand the attention of the world. Now, I'm not saying you're called to be martyrs. That's not for me to say. But what I am saying is you're called into places that will not accept who you are, but you must show them anyway. Amen. You're called into places that do not want to hear what you have to say, but you must speak up. Now, this should be done through earning respect and forming relationships and being trusted in these situations by those around you, but we must see that it must be done. Our first question was, are you carrying the gospel? And the second question was, where are you carrying it to? Where are you willing to go? The other side of this is what we often ignore. Jesus said you must endure for his name's sake. He said, if they persecute me, then they'll surely persecute you. We usually miss from these statements where the persecution is coming from. Look at our text. Death threats from the Jews for Saul coming out against them and turning to Jesus. And this is an obvious one we can see coming. We also see the Hellenists seek to kill him, which are these Greek Jewish converts, but this is not really a surprise either. We saw them play a part in the stoning of Stephen. They were false witnesses. In our lives, we see the cold shoulders and the bad looks and the angry comments coming from those who do not believe what we believe. Maybe you've encountered worse. Some lose their jobs. We may not like it, but we expect it. It is expected from unbelievers. What about from believers? What about church members? Our text does not stop at his daring escape, but continues into Jerusalem, and sandwiched in between his mistreatment by the Jews and by the Hellenists is his interaction with the apostles. Does it say he was welcomed with open arms? No. It says they were afraid because they did not believe he was a disciple. It took a witness, Barnabas, and an interrogation from the apostles to accept him. This seems okay with us, right? Given that he was trying to kill him before, he was after them before he was with them, though that was 3 years ago now. Skepticism was probably needed in this area, but what about in our own lives? How often does the church drive people away for not looking the part, for not praying the way we pray, not worshiping the way we worship? These questions may be easily answered by Cache Creek with a never. We've never done this. That would be a great answer, because there are places where it happens, though I would not call them churches if it does happen. How about this? How often does the church turn away from someone with the past? This hits a bit closer to home, and it's what Saul is dealing with here. He was haunted by his past, though his present is his old self died when he met Jesus. This is normal for the world to think this way, to judge by the past. This is normal, and it happens often in our world today. We see it everywhere. In our technological world, people will have their hands on every comment you ever made online. Every picture you have ever shared, we know this because we've seen people fired or canceled, as they say today, for their past. This is the world we live in, and it's vengeful and evil. It is fallen. It will continue to be more fallen until the return of Jesus again. What about the church? Who are we presenting ourselves to follow if someone recently divorced feels unwelcome? If a recovering alcoholic has to endure looks? If the casual dresser has to feel out of place? If the single or the young feel like they have no place? This too has no place in the church, and it reflects the world and not Jesus. Well, we see this often in churches across this country. This is why churches are springing up that are popular, because they make everyone feel welcome and wanted. Now, some of them are also unbiblical. We must be biblical. Biblical worship, biblical teaching, and pushing the gospel forward. Not a church at all if these things aren't happening. But we also have to have a welcoming atmosphere and a feeling there's a place for everyone. We have to lean into this as well. This means having volunteers to teach so we can offer more classes. Families feeling like they have a place for their children, and not just to watch for an hour, but to learn about Jesus. This means having volunteers to lead missions in the community, like Backpack Ministry, like Food Pantry, like an upcoming Easter egg hunt, or the VBS. This is where we make our stand to push the gospel and to offer a welcoming and inviting place to call home. All are sinners saved by Jesus, and all should have a church that welcomes them home. It's not a welcoming to sin, but it's a place to make repentance a little easier, and a place where fellowship and family overlap. This also means that we must carry ourselves in the very same way outside these walls. We want this church to operate this way eternally, but everyone individually has to operate the same way. You make up the church, and the world sees you, they see the church. Amen. Is this who we are? Are we this kind of person? And if not, is this who we want to be? Saul was not received well initially, but he did find his place among the apostles. We're going to continue to read about Saul becoming Paul. He continued to preach boldly and had to continue to be on the move for threats on his life. This is what we're going to look at going forward. What follows in his life begins in our text today, and it reveals the results of a life lived well. The results of living bold. I want to read our last verse one more time. Verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had a peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Do you hear those words? First, the word so, which means everything before, led to our statement here. The church was being pushed out of Jerusalem and into the world by persecution and death. The movement was by the hands of Saul, and now he has met Jesus himself and has been changed by him. Old Saul no more. With this comes him now being persecuted. Now he's on the run and cannot keep the gospel off his lips. Everywhere he goes, death threats and wickedness and doubts all around him, and he presses forward. In the midst of this is where we get verse 31. Maybe sometimes you ask yourself, why do I have to carry the gospel? Maybe you say, I will, but not to that person. No, that person will be too hard. That will cost too much. Well, verse 31 is the answer to the why. Maybe your question is about persecution. Do I really need to put myself in a situation that I'm uncomfortable in? Can I just go and speak and stand my ground to those I know will accept it? The answer to your question is verse 31. The why here is it leads to the fear of the Lord and peace and comfort in the Holy Spirit and to the building up of others. The purpose of the gospel is to build others up, to bring them to Jesus and to have them changed by Jesus and to be built up by Jesus. It leads to church growth, church expansion. Why do we not have new guests constantly? COVID, maybe. More likely because we're not inviting them. We're not carrying it with us. Why are we not constantly baptizing new believers? Because we have not shared it with them. Not everybody you share the gospel with will come to a changed heart by Jesus. But the more you share, the more will. Church growth is not about bigger numbers on a page. It's not about filling seats and collecting more tithes. It's not about bigger ministries. It's about heaven and hell. It's about eternal life. Every person added to the church is one less person led to hell by Satan and the wickedness of this world. That is what it's about. That's it. We go when we do not want, because we do not want that other person to slip through this life and to an eternity in hell.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the Messiah we all needed. He was the sacrifice none of us could be. The cross for our eternity. His humiliation and suffering and death for our souls. All believers in this man, in this only Son of God, escape condemnation forever. That is what it is all about. And Peter understood, and it cost him everything. Stephen understood, and it cost him everything. Saul turned Paul, understood, and he gives all. Do we understand? What are we doing about it? Living your life every week as if the gospel does not matter and then showing up on Sundays does nothing, helps no one. Amen. Are we pushing into the world with this message we hold dear? Maybe you do not hold this message dear. It changed you. Why not the world? Saul turned Paul, changed the world. Why not us? Who needs you? Where do you need to go? What do you need to push through to get there? Be bold. As we close this morning, I only ask what's on your heart. No drawn out summary of the text today, just a simple look into your own heart. What's on it? As we speak right now, a person, an event, some suffering, some opportunity, what is on your heart? We're all carrying something right now. Maybe it's someone's salvation. Maybe it is your own salvation. If it's someone else needing the gospel, needing to repent, then pray for the courage to not hesitate with the good news. Be bold for them. If it's you who needs to lean into the gospel for the very first time, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. What the Bible says is all true. And the Son of God on the cross was for you. Repent and believe. Be bold for yourself. Bring any other needs at all to your Heavenly Father as we see. Where are you needed? Where you're needed right now is where you're called. Where are you needed today? Be bold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can look into Acts and other books and see this man, Saul turned Paul, and we can see him living a life for you, Father. We can see that his past has no bearing on his future. Help us to get to that place where we don't see our past, but we see our future in Jesus. Help us get to that place where we can have the courage, the boldness to step out so the gospel can change the future of others today. Father, be with us now in these moments as our hearts are stirring. Be with us as we leave this place. Help us see where we need to be today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.